Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's make our way back to our seats. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Well, we got about several people. Man, you know, in the family of God, it's hard to get people to not love each other and get to their seats, huh, brother? Amen. Well, we're going to get started here. Amen, amen. First of all, if this is your first time worshiping with us, we're so thankful that you chose to come. If it's been a while and you're not your first time, but it's been a while, so good to see you again. Amen. If it is your first time, we would love for you to fill out a connection card. You can find those from an usher at the kiosk. You can fill out on the iPad a few points of information, just a few points. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to call you this week, meet you and greet you. Amen. At Calvary Gospel Church, we love to worship with our giving. We give you lots of options to do so. You can give online at cgcmadison.org. You can give in person. There is acrylic boxes outside each entrance, and you can give there. You can snail mail it. We love to get mail here at Calvary Gospel. And then the Church Center app, if you download it, just look in your Google Play or your Apple Store for Church Center. And while you're sitting here, use your location. You'll find Calvary Gospel Church. You can connect with us with many things, find out what's going on here, but also give through the app as well. Amen. Just a few announcements. Tonight is our monthly men's ministry service right here in the main sanctuary, 6 p.m. Bring some cash to hit a restaurant afterwards, some Culver's or whatever people decide to go to. It's going to be a great service tonight for our men at 6 p.m. Then this Friday, after you're full of turkey and mashed potatoes, we are having a Black Friday event. Our Take Aim Connection Group is having a Black Friday axe throwing. If you ever just wanted to feel like, oh, just going to take some aggression out, this is the time. Wear off some turkey, exactly. Details are up there. Also, Brother Kirby, I don't see him in here. He's way in the back waving his hand. You can see him sign up. Also, the Take Aim has a connection to the Church Center app. Go to groups and find Take Aim and sign up for that group, and there will be more details in there. But that's Friday, November 24th, 7 and 9, at Flannel Jack's. You have to wear flannel, Kirby? Nah, if you want to really look like a lumberjack, wear your flannel. You don't have to bring your axe. You don't have to have an axe. They provide the axes. Man, this sounds greater as we go on. Come on now. Let's throw some axes. Amen. But that's Friday. Moving on to Christmas, it's a great time to give to the community, give to those in need. And Sister Martha, who's out of town this week, is pursuing or is leading a charge on two ways to give. One's a free way, and that's we support about 75 missionaries at Calvary Gospel all across this world. And so we want to write missionaries a Christmas card, letting them know that we're praying for them. Maybe have your kids draw a picture. If you don't want to do a card, just draw a picture, color a picture, paint a picture, crayon a picture, something, however you want to do it. You can drop those items, either the cards or the pictures, into the there's an acrylic box, our old offering box we put on the kiosk temporarily for the next month. You can drop those in. Sister Martha will take care of getting those sent off. The second opportunity, we as an organization support Tupelo Children's Mansion. This is down in Tupelo, Mississippi, orphanage children that are coming from horrible situations. Well, you can buy them Christmas gifts. They put together a Amazon wish list that includes gifts for all of all types, of all sorts, for all the kids. And as you exit the building, on the doors, there's flyers that has a QR code. You can scan that QR code. It'll take you right to the wish list, and can be sent directly to Tupelo Children's Mansion and wrapped and everything by Amazon, so you don't have to worry about it. Amen. Man, at this time, we want Pastor Seidel to come with a special promotion.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm here once again to remind you about our Christmas for Christ offering, our annual Christmas for Christ offering. North American Missions does this every year. We're going to forego the video this morning for the sake of time. The theme again this year is the next town. The focus of North American Missions at this time is church planting, and every church planter that is involved with Christmas for Christ receives support from the national level. And here in the state of Wisconsin, we support them at several levels, with the 40% of all the offering that stays in our district. So when you give to Christmas for Christ, you're supporting North American missionaries all around North America, but you're also supporting those specifically in our district going to the next town. Out in the vestibule, you'll see that table full of envelopes like this. They all have different amounts on them. You can challenge yourself and pledge for yourself how much you want to give. Do the math if you need more than one. If you want to include your children, you can give each of them an envelope and give them a challenge to give of their hard-earned allowance money, or whatever, however you handle it in your household. It's a great opportunity to remind yourself that we are reaching the whole world with the whole gospel, and that includes right here in North America. Christmas for Christ offering will be taken. The official offering date is December 24th, but you can be a part of it. You can give at any time. Just designate in your offering North American Missions or Christmas for Christ, or use the envelope. Thank you. God bless you. Pastor Roy.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It is such a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning here. And we had a great Bible class this morning. Brother Phil Demas did a phenomenal job teaching. And so many of you have probably been made aware that we had sent out a one call, I believe, yesterday. We were kind of letting the congregation know that our two couples here, Brother Carl and Sister Cecily, and then their family, and then Brother Kelvin Wells and Sister Brooke Wells, and that they had a fire. They were staying out at Kelvin's property, and they had a home that they were remodeling, and fire broke out. They're not for sure exactly what all happened or what. It's all under investigation yet, but basically Carl and Cecily and Kelvin and Brooke literally lost everything in that fire. And other than the immediate clothes on their back, and we sent out a one call just asking folks if they would like to take and donate or help. Now, here's how we're going to kind of help them with this. We've had a number of calls, and people said, hey, you know, they need furniture, they need this, that. Right now, they don't have, either one of them have a residence that is theirs to live in. So they very much appreciate all the outbreak and all the people that have stepped up to say, hey, we want to help, but they don't need like immediate like beds and utensils for kitchen and all of this kind of stuff. They just literally need enough to get through until insurance. They have to deal with all of that, which it's not like instantaneous. But so if you'd like to give a cash donation to the Benevolent Fund, just put their name on that, and we will get that to them. And as time begins to progress and they end up kind of settling in as to where they're going to be for the next 6 months or so, then we'll let you know what their needs are at that point. So right now, if everybody brought in furniture and all of this stuff, they wouldn't even have a place to store everything because they don't have any place to store everything. So I hope you understand that. We're not trying to micromanage this situation or anything. We just want to be able to work with them, help them, so they don't have all of this other stuff to try to worry about. When the time comes and those are the things that they need as far as kitchen and all the other bath towels and all that stuff, we'll help them in that area. So if you have any questions, just feel free to talk with Carl or Cecily or Bryce or Brooke and Calvin. And we thank you so very much for all your support. Also, on a side note, Brother Jeff Lomax and the Word of Life, their church literally last week burned down. And some of you may have saw that on the news, and we have offered our building to them on Sunday evenings and Thursday evenings so they don't lose their congregation. So continue to pray for the Word of Life, for the Wells family, Brooke and Kelvin, and then also Carl and Cecily. With that, can we stand? We have a special prayer request turned in this morning. Brother Josh Carpenter has a friend that has cancer in the throat and the larynx, and her vocal cords have been rendered. Basically, she can't speak. So let's continue. Let's just pray for her. We'll continue. Let's just pray for Word of Life Church, the Lomaxes, and then, of course, Carl, Cecily, and Kelvin and Brooke. Any other special requests? Anyone have any special needs here this morning? Just by the lifting your hand, we just want to look around you, brothers, sisters. We're going to take and we're just going to pray. It's so great to have Brother and Sister Yater with us again today. Brother Yater is going to be speaking here shortly. We'll be introducing him in a short bit. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for all the little miracles that you that just took place, Lord, over the last 48 hours, Lord, as far as the fires and all of this, Lord, the things that could have happened that didn't happen and the reasons. It's just amazing, Lord, how you have just protected. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection. I thank you, Lord, for keeping these families safe, our friends safe. But, Lord, there's a long way ahead, and I pray, God, that your hand would be upon them, that you would lead them, that you would guide them, that you would open up opportunities, Lord, for whatever is needed, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for our friends at Word of Life, for Brother and Sister Lomax, that they would, through this difficult time, lead their congregation, Lord God. And if anything we can do here to help, Lord, we want to be a blessing to them. We pray, Lord, for Brother Josh Carpenter's friend that is battling this larynx, this throat cancer, her vocal cords, God. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon her, that you would touch her and heal her. Lord, I pray for all of their requests, all the hands that were lifted here today. I thank you, Lord. I can just feel such a powerful, sweet presence of your Spirit in this place. Lord, I pray as we go into worship, God, that your Spirit would flow through this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Our worship team is going to lead us into worship. You can feel free to be seated. You can stand. You can make your way to the front. However you would like. God bless you.
I speak victory. Over every life and over every family, I speak victory. Over every situation and over every nation, and every enemy is conquered, every stronghold is brought down. I speak victory, and I speak victory. We're bringing home every son and daughter. Rulers of darkness have to bow. I speak victory, I speak victory. Victory in the name of Jesus. Oh. Victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. And I speak victory. Over every life, over my
family.
I speak victory.
I speak victory.
Rulers of darkness have to bow. I speak victory. I speak victory. Every enemy is conquered. Every nothing can stand against us now. I speak victory. I speak victory. The kingdom of God is moving forward. Revival is here, it's all around. I speak victory.
I speak
victory. I speak victory.
I'm speaking victory.
Nothing to fear, our steps are holding.
Nothing can stand against us now.
I speak victory.
Oh, I speak victory.
I speak
victory. Oh, I speak the victory. I'm speaking the victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name. Victory in the name of Jesus.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
Victory in the name.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
Hold this victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name.
Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name.
Oh, there's victory in the name of Jesus.
Worship the name of Jesus. Let's worship. God, we lift up your voice in this place. God, we worship you, Jesus. We glorify your name, Jesus. We lift up your name, Jesus, for you are great, God. For you are here, Jesus, for you are mighty, God. We give you the praise, God. We give you the glory, God. We worship the name of Jesus. Let's worship the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's lift up your voice.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy.
Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Know the trumpet and shout.
Praise Him for the victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Come on and praise,
praise Him for the victory.
Sing, lift up your voice.
Victory.
All the weapons we use,
the weapons we use are not bombs and guns.
Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight.
Come on and praise,
praise Him for the victory. And every knee shall bow,
every knee shall bow,
every tongue,
every
confess,
tongue confess.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
I'm not turning back, Jesus.
I won't turn
worship the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship the name. We thank you for my victory, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, church. I just want to say this for Brother Yater preaches Sunday. This morning could have been a much different Sunday. I'm so thankful for God's protection. God is so good. I got to praise him. I got to thank him. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's so great to have Brother and Sister Yater here. Outgoing missionaries to the nation of Israel, and he's just here to preach to us today. God bless you, my friend. Preach.
Thank you, Bishop. Amen. Isn't God good? And aren't you thankful for his presence we feel here today? Amen. And I thank God for the victory. Amen. Come on, has he ever given you victory in your life? Come on, is there anybody in the house of God that's ever experienced God's victory for their life? Let's give him some praise just another moment. Come on, as he brought you out, let's give him some praise. If he's heard your cry, let's give him some praise. Come on, if he's ever healed you, let's give him some praise. Come on, Calvary, if you've ever been surrounded and didn't know how it was going to work out and God heard your cry, let's give him some praise. Come on, this is how we fight. We give him honor. We give him praise. We give him glory for the victory. Even when it don't make sense, we praise him for the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for God's great mercy. Amen. It's a big honor and privilege it is to be here. Amen. Good to be with Brother Grant. Don't you love your pastor? Amen. Aren't you thankful for good, godly, apostolic leadership in this church, in this district? Amen. I thank God, and it's good to be with you. And we got to spend the night with the Browns last night, and man, what a great host they are. Fantastic meal. Amen. Love the Browns. And I got to give honor to Brother Rogers and your district superintendent, Brother Booker. What a fantastic leadership you have here. Brother Phil, good to see you again. Amen. Brother Cross, good to see you. Amen. It's good to be amongst friends. And I got to give honor to my sweet wife, hardest working woman that I know. And I'm so thankful for you, babe. Appreciate you. Love you. And I tell everybody I wouldn't be where I am without her. Amen. And I let her receive that genuine hand clap, because the truth is, I tell it because the reason why I wouldn't be where I am without her is because she drove us here today. And then she's like, well, you need to get some new jokes. And you tell that everywhere we go. And I'm like, honey, it's because you drive us everywhere we go. And, amen. I'm so thankful for her. And man, what the praise team did a fantastic job. And I woke up this morning and I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord. God, what do you want me to say? And I have a thought and I have no idea how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to give it a shot. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Says this: and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. I was talking to my daughter, and my daughter's in the process. This is her third Sunday in a row going to church. Having been raised in it, and teenage years come, and trials, and we were talking. And I just had to remind her, you know, like fish, when you take fish out of water, what happens to them? And she said, well, they die. And I said, well, same thing with a plant. If you take a plant and pull it out of the ground, what happens? She said, well, Dad, it dies. And the reason why it dies is because you're separating it from its source of life. And so that's what happens. I told her, I was like, Cadence, you're never going to be happy with life until you get back right with God. And she said, well, why is that? I said, because you've already been born again. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you've already got that inside of you. Amen. And if you're not walking with God, you've literally cut yourself off from your source of life. Amen. In this day and age, we need to be connected with our source of life. Amen. Just like, amen, if we're not coming to church, if we're not walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit, amen, we're separating ourselves from the source of life. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 2. Shout out to the projector lady. Leviticus 11, verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts that you should eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Verse 3. Whatsoever part the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that you shall eat. Matthew 10, verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as servants and harmless as doves. And you're probably wondering, where are you going to do with all those verses? If you're aspiring to be in ministry, don't do what I do. Do as I say. But I promise it's all going to come together. If you need to hear from God, would you put your Bibles down and just take a moment and pray with me? God, we need you today. If you're going through something and you need God, amen, you need to be led. If you're fighting something, amen, and you need to be led, you want victory, amen. Whatever it is that you're facing, amen, you need something from heaven this morning. Would you pray with me and ask God, God, come down. God, speak to our heart, God. I'm asking you, amen. I'm asking you to show up today, God. I'm asking you to challenge our thought process. I'm asking you, God, to help us through these times of difficulty and lack of understanding and know what you are doing, God, and how your kingdom is advancing in these so end times. Amen. We're asking you, God, just to bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to give the projector lady. It's 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3. I told her 31 earlier. It's 29. Well, it's good to be back in Wisconsin, and we're thankful to be done with deputation, and we're just kind of out just sharing and trying to advance the kingdom of God the best that we can. As you well know, Israel's at war right now, and it's interesting because, I mean, there's so much that could be talked about, but the truth is there's so much that's already there in the news, it doesn't make sense to try to rehash it. But I want to talk to you about a couple of different things. I want to talk to you about, this guy by the name, and I'm thinking, Ariel Sharon. Do you know who Ariel Sharon is? He's a very famous prime minister in Israel. And he's since passed, but he was very famous. And Ariel Sharon wasn't just a famous prime minister, but he was also a very famous warrior. Very powerful warrior. He had gone up and learned a lot, and he was responsible for training and developing a lot of the strategies that the IDF continues to use today, and also how the IDF even trains other militaries around the world. Ariel Sharon was a fabulous, magnificent warrior, very gifted, and believe it or not, he had the nickname on Israel, and he was known as the King of Israel on the streets. And so when he got older, it made sense for him to get into politics. And that's what he did. And his reputation had gone before him, and he was a great leader in Israel. And everyone loved him. Everybody called him the King of Israel. The problem was is that there were some things that were going on behind the scenes. And some of the things that were going on behind the scenes was there were some ethical issues that were going on in his family. And, it's commonplace today that politicians seem to be confronted with these ethical issues and sometimes even arrested and threatened and ran through criminal proceedings and things of that nature. And it's pretty terrible, not only here in the United States, but it's even done all around the world. And it certainly took place with Ariel Sharon. A lot of people don't know that. So they were going to arrest him or arrest his son and put him on trial. And here he had this great identity, and it was all of a sudden in question. But here come a knock on the door, and there was a way to work through this problem. And the way to work through this problem was to have Israel withdraw from the Gaza Strip. And so that's what he did. He made the decision arbitrarily, who knows. But he made the decision to withdraw from the Gaza Strip. And every since then, you know, leadership, whenever there's a vacuum of leadership, there will be some leadership that comes into position, whether it's going to be a good leadership or a bad leadership. That's only going to be decided as that's happening. And if we're not careful, amen, we'll allow wicked and evil leadership to come in where godly leadership is intended to be. And so that's what happened. Israel kind of, they withdrew from the Gaza Strip, and before long, Hamas came in, and for the last 15 years has been a thorn in Israel's side. And as you well know, October 7th, the invasion of Israel and some of the atrocities that had gone on is pretty barbaric. And it's difficult to even wrap our mind around how that could even take place. But the fact of the matter is, it did happen. And so, you know, when we take a step back and we evaluate what took place, I wonder how Ariel Sharon would feel today if he knew that the decision that he made back then would impact Israel today the way that it has. And it makes a lot of sense to just, you know, take a step back sometimes and evaluate some of our thought processes and some of our decision-making processes. It matters what we believe. It matters what we believe about God. You know, and it's interesting because here is Ariel Sharon, and he's confronted, amen, with the threat of an enemy. And it looked like that there was going to be destruction for him and maybe his son. But I wonder what would happen if Ariel Sharon would have made a different decision. Instead of acquiescing to the pressures of the enemy and to the pressures of the world, I wonder what would happen if he would have went to God and said, God, I made a mistake. God, I've got this problem here going on, and I don't know what to do. And God, I realize that I'm in a position, and I'm in a position of power, but these aren't my people. These are your people. Amen. This isn't my land. This is your land. And I wonder what would happen if Ariel Sharon would have got right, amen, in the presence of Almighty God and asked God, God, what would you have me to do? How would you lead us through this time and trial and situation? And it's interesting because, you know, people say in Israel that at one point in time, God taken people out of the prison house and made them leaders in Israel. And now God has taken leaders of Israel and putting them in the prison house. And it's interesting how things have turned around. But there's another king, and his name is Hezekiah. And I want to read a few scriptures, 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3. Excuse me. It says, he in the first year of his reign. Now, this is Hezekiah. And I think that sometimes we can read these stories about the kings and miss some very valuable and very important insights here. And it says that he, right here in the first year of the reign of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And what that shows is that, you know, sometimes when people come into a position of power, right, they can say, well, I've got this I've got to do, and I've got that I've got to do, and they've got their list of priorities. And sometimes it makes sense to have that list of priorities and work on this and then that. And then once that gets set up, then you can go on and work on the next things, right? There's a strategy in leadership, and that makes sense. But Hezekiah, the first thing that he did was he began to prepare the doors and the way to the house of God. And I really appreciate that. And in this day and age, I mean, I value strong leadership whose priority is the house of God. Amen. And from the first year, from the first month, he set his heart out to do what was right in the eyes of God. Verse 4, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered together them together. Verse 5, and said unto them, hear me, you Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And we're going to drop down to verse 10. Now, he says, it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath would turn away from us. Verse 11, My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. And I appreciate what he's doing here. He's setting forth the house of God first. He's setting forth the ministry of God first. And not only is he telling them to repair the house, he's commanding the priests to sanctify themselves. And not only is he doing that, but he's saying, carry the unclean things out of the holy place. And I'm telling you, for a new king, for a new person in leadership, amen, to come in and make that decision and have that expectation right out of the gate, that's a pretty significant challenge to face, especially if you're talking about in a people that was rejecting God. I mean, it was obvious that the house had become in disarray and that the people were not clean. Even the ministry was not clean. And even the house of God, the holy place, wasn't clean. Everything was torn down. And there's more to the story. I mean, it was horrible. The idols were set up in the house of God and all kinds of things. And so it takes a lot of guts for the man to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. And this is what the expectation is right from the onset. And it would serve Hezekiah well, because that heart for holiness and that heart for doing what was right in the eyes of God would set a pace for him. Because it wasn't much longer before the king of Assyria came knocking on his door and saying, look, hey man, we're coming after you. And it's a very well-known story that Sennacherib would come and would threaten Hezekiah and say, look, we've got you surrounded. And I love, if you read in the ancient Near Eastern literature, hey man, you can go and look online, and there's several places. In fact, the University of Chicago has a stele where Sennacherib wrote, and he said that he had Jerusalem and had Hezekiah surrounded in Jerusalem like a bird in a cage. And he was a strong warrior. He was a strong enemy. And here he is, he's looking and he's knocking on Hezekiah's door, and then he says, listen, amen, what makes you think that you're going to be able to survive? What makes you think that you're going to be able to be victorious? 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 10, he reads it like this. Thus says Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that you abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Verse 11, does not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves and die by famine and by thirst, saying that the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Verse 12, has not Hezekiah taken away the same high places and altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you shall worship before one altar and offer incense on it? Verse 13, know ye not what I and my fathers have done to the people of other lands? Were the gods of those lands able to save their people? Were they able to deliver those lands out of my hand? Verse 14, who was there among all those gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? You know, that's pretty audacious. That's pretty audacious. And you know what's even more audacious than that? To be able to point to the surrounding destruction and say, look, I've been victorious. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, you could hear from the amen and the yeah in the crowd that someone's been there before, right? And that's how the enemy works. And if I could title this message, I would title it simply, you know, tips to get you through the 11th hour. And we need to know who God is, number one. Number two, right, we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. Amen. And I'm telling you, in this day and age, the enemy is very good at deceiving us with truth. Amen. And it's easy for him to point and say, look, they weren't able to be saved and they called on their gods. What makes you think that your God's going to be able to save you? Amen. But here's what Hezekiah had, amen, is that he turned his heart towards God. Amen. And he made it very clear, it's in my heart to be in covenant with God. And he led his people into covenant with Almighty God. And I'm telling you, sometimes that was the thing that caused Sennacherib to come against him. And I'm telling you, in this day and age, the more we try to get closer to God, the more we try to serve Almighty God, the more there's going to be an enemy that tries to rise up, amen, and come against us and want to fight. And he does. He uses all types of tactics to be able to come against us, to get us to question whether or not God's able. But I'm here to tell you, God is able. God is willing. God hears. God sees. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, when the enemy makes it about his will or God's will, amen, we don't like that. But I'm telling you, that's the best type of battle that we could be facing, because it's his battle. He's God. We don't have to do anything. And Hezekiah, you know, he would take the letter that Sennacherib wrote him, and he'd lay it out before Almighty God. And he said this. He said, God, this is what the enemy says, certain destruction. And it's true. I can look around and I could see how the enemy has been very successful. But God, what do you say? And then he goes through and tells him, he says, God, he said, I'm asking you to step into this situation so that all the kingdoms of the earth will know assuredly that you are God and God alone. And I love that and I appreciate that. And what I do is I just paraphrase it by saying, God, I'm asking you to step into this situation so that the whole world will know. And in this day and age, God's doing a work. He's doing an incredible work. And what he's doing, it isn't just for an individual. It isn't just for a household. Amen. God's doing incredible things. Amen. So that the whole world will know that the kingdom is God, of God will be advanced. Amen. And there's no devil in hell that's going to stop it. There's no situation that's going to stop it. Amen. And there's nothing no man can do to be able to be stop God, what God wants to do in the world and in our life. And so what Hezekiah did was he wisely chose to make the house of God and the righteousness and the holiness of God his priority. The second thing was is that when he had the enemy that come to threaten to swallow him up, he still chose God. He still chose to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Even when it didn't make sense. And I'm telling you, I wonder what would happen if Ariel Sharon would have done the same thing. Because when Hezekiah was completely surrounded, when it looked like that there was no hope, God came down, God stepped in, amen. God put a hook in the jaw of Sennacherib just like he said that he was going to. He took him back to Nineveh just like he said he was going to. And someone from Sennacherib's own bowels, his own sons, killed him. And that's the way that it works when we put God first. Amen. And so I wonder what would happen if Ariel Sharon would have said, God, I made a mistake. I was with a rabbi a couple of years ago, and we were driving down the street, and we could pull up to a stoplight, and he kind of grumbles under his breath, and he calls this guy a pig. And that's not what I expect to be out of a righteous rabbi, right? It's not that type of language. And exactly, you know, even the way that he said it was pretty harsh. So he calls this guy a pig, and I'm like, Rabbi, why in the world did you do that? And he said, do you not know the laws of kosher animals? And I said, well, yeah, I do. And he said, well, what are they? I said, well, for an animal to be kosher, and the word kosher means in accordance with Jewish law, in order to be able to eat and be offered as a sacrifice on the altar, it has to have two signs. It has to have a cloven hoof, and it has to chew the cud. And he said, that's right, but do you know what that means? And I said, well, I think so. And he said, well, let me just tell you. He said that when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he brought them to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 and 20. And God came down and he spoke to them. And he spoke to them the Ten Commandments. And the people, the Bible tells us that all the people heard God's voice. And it tells us that God came down in the sight of everybody and all the people heard his voice. And it's important to know that the revelation of God is for everybody. Amen. God wants everybody to know who he is. God wants everybody to know his voice. Amen. God wants to be in covenant with everybody, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. The problem was is that when God began to speak to the people rejected it and they stood afar off. And they said, Moses, we'll listen to you, but we don't want to hear from God because we're going to die. And it helps to understand that they had the wrong idea of what God was trying to do. God didn't bring them out of the house of bondage to bring them into a 3 days journey into the wilderness to kill them. No, he brought them out, is what it says, out of the house of bondage to take them in into a land flowing with milk and honey, a good land, a large land. Amen. And so the people, just not completely aware of that, they stood afar off and they said, Moses, we'll listen to you. And the problem is that if they were really willing to listen to Moses and to the man of God, they would have listened to him right then. But they didn't. And so they stood afar off anyway. And by doing that, they rejected the very revelation of God, is what it says in Deuteronomy. Not only did they reject the voice, but they also rejected the fire. And so there they were. And the rabbis say that that place that was intended to be the womb where the Jews had the opportunity to be born again ultimately became their tomb because they rejected what God wanted to do. And so for that reason, the rabbi's telling me that the God had to teach them spiritual principles through natural means. For instance, like the law, it's a very well-known law that you're not supposed to mix wool and linen. Well, spiritually, what you can learn from that is that linen comes from the plant kingdom and wool comes from the animal kingdom. And therefore, you're not supposed to mix two different kingdoms. And Jesus said it like this, because you'll have two masters and you either love the one and hate the other. Right? So it makes sense. It's a spiritual principle, right? And so, you know, God was intending to teach spiritual principles through physical means. So with the law of the kosher animal, what are they supposed to communicate? What is that supposed to teach? That physical lesson supposed to teach a spiritual principle? What is it supposed to teach? And the answer to that is, as the rabbi was telling me, he said, Matt, can you see an animal chew its cud? And I'm like, no, well, you can see it chew, but obviously you can't see it swallow it and bring it back up and chew it again. And he said, yeah, that's right. And for that reason, we say that that's an internal marking of holiness. And he said, Matt, can you see a cloven hoof from afar away, from a distance? And I told him, yeah. And he said, for that reason, we call that sign, the cloven hoof, an external marking of holiness. And so for an animal to be kosher, not only to eat, but even to be an acceptable sacrifice, it has to have both the internal and external markings of holiness. And so even though the camel, it has the internal, it chews the cud, right? It's still not kosher. It's still not holy because it lacks the external marking of holiness. Amen. And even though the pig, it has the external marking of holiness, it's still not holy or kosher because it lacks the internal marking of holiness. All right, it's the sheep, it's the goat, and it's the cow that have both the internal and external marking of holiness. Therefore, they're kosher and acceptable, not only to eat, but even acceptable sacrifice. And so when he started talking that, I'm thinking, wow, those old school, uneducated apostolic preachers have been right the whole time. But that's what happens. You get into the presence of God. God reveals himself, right? He doesn't just show you, but he'll talk to you. Amen. He'll teach you spiritual principles. Why? Because God wants you to be victorious. Amen. He's not just trying to bring us out. He's trying to take us in. Amen. He's got a land flowing with milk and honey that he wants to take us to. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that he's requiring us to leave some things behind. I thank God we've got to leave murder behind. I don't like that. Amen. I thank God that we have to leave adultery. I don't like that mess. Thank God that we have to leave stealing and lying. I mean, I don't like that. I'd like to have my shovel out in the front yard if I leave it there the next day. Amen. I like the idea that I don't have to worry about someone coming in my back door when I'm going out my front door. Amen. I thank God for that. I thank God that he's got some principles that he wants us to live by. I thank God that he's got some purpose that he's trying to teach us. I thank God that he wants us to be in a place of peace and rest. And I thank God that he's trying to lead us there. And I don't know about you, but I want all that he has for me. I don't care what it costs me. I want what he has for me. And so when he's, you know, rabbi's telling me that, you know, that he called the guy a pig, let me ask you the same question. What is he saying? He was saying the guy had it on the outside, but he didn't have it on the inside. And I don't know about you, but I want it on the inside and on the outside. Especially when Jesus makes comments like he did. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And what he's saying is, and you look at it from that lens, he's sending you forth as sheep. That's an animal that's got the internal and the external marking of holiness. And he's sending it in the midst of wolves. That's an animal that does not have neither the internal or the external. Now, it doesn't make sense for the Lord to send a sheep in the midst of wolves, but, amen, we would think that it was going to be that the wolf would overcome the sheep. And so what we're learning from that is that God knows that the areas that he's sending us to, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a difficult situation. It looks like it's going to be a predator type situation. But I'm telling you, that didn't stop God from sending them. And why? Because if God's going to be with them, I want whatever he has. Amen. And if God's going to say go, and he says I'm going to be with you, that's how I want to be where he wants me to be. Amen. And I don't care how much sense it doesn't look like it makes. Amen. If God says he's going to send us and he's going to go with us, I'm pretty sure that we're going to be victorious no matter what it looks like. No matter how big the enemy looks, no matter how much we're surrounded, amen, no matter how much the wolf will huff and puff and threaten to blow our house down, I mean, God's got our back. And so he says, I'm going to send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And he says, so therefore, be ye harmless and wise. Why? And I think that sometimes I scratch my head wondering why God does some of the things that he does. But I thank God that he does them. I want to look at some passages in Isaiah to try to bring this all together. It says this, that there shall come forth a rod, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, that stem, it could be a stump, either or is what it says. And the question is, when you see a tree that's cut down and you see a stump that's there, what does that communicate to you? It's dead, right? Looks like it's over for that tree, right? And then what happens if you see a branch? I don't know if you've ever cut down a tree. I remember doing it as a kid. My dad wanted me to cut down a tree, and then we seen a branch coming up the next spring. What does that communicate to you? It's still alive, right? And so, Isaiah, how are you, bud? Good kid. I mean, I love Isaiah. I do. I love him. I was going to give you a shout out. I messed up, man. I mean, here, you got it now, bud. You deserve it. I sure love him. But if you see a branch coming out of that stump, that's bad news for the person that's cut it down. And it does. It communicates that there's life still there. And I thank God for that. Because what it says here, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And so that's what happens when the Spirit of Lord comes on that situation. God has a way of taking dead things and turning them around and making them alive. Amen. God has a way of taking things that look like they're cut off and it's over for them, amen, and gives them a brand new start. Amen. And I don't know, that's what we need in more than anything. We need the Spirit of God. We need a revelation of what he's doing. Amen. And in this day and age, it's telling us that if we set our heart towards the Spirit of God, amen, not only will he make these dead things alive, but he'll give us wisdom, and then we'll extend that to understanding. In this day and age, we need wisdom. Not only do we need a revelation, we need wisdom from God. We need an understanding. Why? Because you never know what's going on with people today. You don't know if they're for you or against you. You don't know if they're trying to hurt you. You don't know whether it's for your good or for your bad, but God knows. Amen. God's leading. God is wanting to do a work. Amen. In this day and age, we don't have time to be playing around with it. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we'll continue here. It says this, the spirit of counsel and might. And if we do like what Isaiah did and we set our heart towards the Spirit of God and letting the Spirit of God have his way in our life, amen, God will give us counsel. Amen. And that's what happened with David. David set his heart towards being led by the Spirit of God, and God gave him counsel. Should I go up? Yes, you should go up. Should I go up? No, now's not the time. Should I engage in this battle? Yeah, but here, I want you to do it this way. Amen. And God gave him victory. And I think that sometimes in this day and age, amen, we just expect God just to show up and move after the fact. But and we've got to have the same attitude that Hezekiah did. We can't wait till we're surrounded by an enemy to call upon God and ask God to help us. We've got to make God, amen, following God, amen, that relationship with the Holy, we've got to make that our first priority. Amen. We've got to be led by Him. Amen. And even when we're surrounded, amen, when we're confronted with certain death and certain destruction, it makes sense to want to try to save all that you have left and try to go somewhere and start all over again. But in this day, we ain't got time for that. Amen. And God wants to do more. He wants to give us counsel. And He wants to lead us and guide us. And here's what's important, that if we submit ourselves to the counsel of God, God will give us might. He'll give us power. And what that means is that if we just let God lead and guide, amen, God's going to work it out the way that God wants to work it out. And I'm telling you that as a blind person, I had a, for those who don't know, I had a meth lab blow up on me, went to prison, and got out of prison, went to jail in Indiana for a crime I didn't commit. God did a miracle in my case, proved my innocence, brought me out, and then I went to church. I was looking at 40 years for a crime I didn't commit, and God did a miracle in my case. Come to church, He fills me with the Holy Ghost, and then He wakes me up in the middle of the night and He tells me to go to Israel. He tells me He's calling me, like Paul. He's going to take me in and out of the Jewish community. And I went to church and I told all my friends, and by the time the lion told the monkey and the monkey told the bear, I was communicating that I was the greatest apostle the world's ever known, and I was going to have the greatest revival the world's ever seen, and I was even one of the two witnesses. I didn't even know what a two witnesses was. But that's what happens sometimes when the lion tells the monkey and the monkey tells the bear, right? Like, you just never know. But way back then, I had a choice. You know, when everyone was saying, Matt, oh, I think you're a little bit out there, Matt. I think you're making it bigger than what it is, Matt. And, you know, I had a choice. And I'm just telling you, we will all be confronted with a choice. Every single one of us, all the way from the greatest leadership down to the lowest, to Joe's just coming into the church, we will always be confronted with a choice. And the question is what kind of decision are we going to make? And we've got to be wise and choose God. We've got to be willing to follow God no matter what the cost, no matter how difficult, no matter how much it looks like it doesn't make sense, because God is going to use those people in this end times. And if we'll just follow Him, and when I did, He told me to go to Bible school, so I went. And it didn't make sense. I didn't have any money, but I graduated 3.5 years later with my bill completely paid off. And then He told me prepare for a PhD, and I went and got my first master's degree. That didn't make sense either, but then I graduated 3 years later, completely paid off. I went to Israel, went over there, I had $1,800, but God told me to go. And I went, and He worked it out. And before I knew it, I ended up finding out that I was Jewish. Rabbis brought me into a rabbi school, started giving me scholarships to pay for my education. And then I ended up becoming an Israeli citizen. And so, way back when I first got into church, I looked like an idiot for believing and trusting that God was able to do it. But I'm telling you, amen, God worked it out step by step, amen. And the more that I got confronted with life and situations, and I'm looking around and I see other people that do not seem to be succeeding but still had a call, people that said that they had a promise and it didn't seem to come to pass, and the people that would try to admonish me and warn me, and all with good spirit, just trying to help me. I understand that. I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, we've got to know who's calling us. We've got to know who has the power to lead us and guide us. Amen. Who has the power to, and I'm telling you, I appreciate, but men are limited. Amen. We're limited in our thought process. We're limited in our finances. We're limited in our ability, but God is not limited. He's not limited by His thought process. He's not limited by His knowledge. Amen. He knows everything. He's not limited in His power. He's got all power. He's not limited in His finances. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm telling you, in this day and age, God is putting a call on people's life, amen, that's bigger than they can even begin to wrap their mind around, amen. And we've got to make sure, above all things, that we are connected to our source of life at all costs. Because he's going to lead us and he's going to guide us. And he's going to give us power. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's what happens when God leads you and guides you. When he's leading you and he works it out, that leads to knowledge. We know that he's a savior then. We know that he's a way maker then. We know that he's a provider then. And that leads to a reverential respect of God. We trust him. Why? Because he's led us and he's never let us down. Amen. He's fought our battles and he's never let us fail. Amen. God's worked it out somehow, some way. He delivered us. And that leads to the fear of the Lord. And it says this, and he shall make him a quick of understanding. In the fear of the Lord. You know what? The quick understanding, that means that God's going to do a quick work. Amen. We ain't got 30 years now to develop a ministry and for God to do a work. I mean, he's taking young ones. I mean, people that are going to make a priority to prioritize a relationship with him in the house of God from the very beginning. He's doing incredible things with people that make that decision. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor approve after the hearing of his ears. And you know what? I appreciate that because I remember when we were in Israel, we're surrounded and we've got missiles everywhere. And I don't know what you do when you've got missiles that are exploding all around you. But me, I don't know why. I've got to look out the window. I almost titled this sermon, amen, like a blind man looking out the window. And we've got missiles going off. They're exploding all around us. I can hear debris falling. And instead of running to a bomb shelter like anyone that's got any sense, no, I'm there looking out the window. Why? I have no idea. I can't even see. But you know what? People want to know what's going on. And it's a natural tendency to want to look at what's going on around you, even if that means destruction. Amen. And I'm telling you, we've got to be intentional. Amen. To close our eyes to some of that stuff. And I got to a place where God did a miracle in my friend Tal's life. And it showed me that God was really working behind the scenes. And when I learned that and I'm over there looking out the window, I'm asking myself, what kind of sense does this make? And so I shut the shades. And I put my noise-canceling headphones on, and I went over to the bed, and I laid down. You know why? Because we've got to be intentional about closing our eyes to some things. We've got to be intentional about closing our ears to some things. Amen. We got to be intentional about just setting our heart and knowing that Almighty God's got our back, that he's fighting our battle. He's going to lead us through it. He's going to provide. Verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, I love that verse. Amen. Because I don't know what you've come into the house of God with. Amen. Maybe you feel cut off. Maybe you feel disconnected. Maybe you feel like it's over for you. Maybe you feel like, amen, you've believed and it hasn't really come to pass. And if it hasn't come to pass yet, why should you believe that it's going to come to pass now? And I'm telling you, amen, we've got to choose to choose God no matter what the circumstances look like. And I love what it says here, amen, about him being a righteous judge. And I am chief of all types of mistakes. I've made all kinds of mistakes. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather put my mistakes into the hands of a righteous judge, amen, than listen to an enemy that's threatening to swallow me up, amen, that's threatening to take me out, that's threatening to destroy my life. And I'm telling you, here's tip number two, amen, no matter what your mistake is, no matter what your past is like, amen, we've got to be intentional about bringing that to Almighty God. He's a righteous judge, amen. He's a trier of the reins. He knows what's going on in the inside. And I'm telling you, he wants to do work not just on the inside, but on the outside, amen. And he's going to start with the inside first. But if we let the enemy convince us that it's over for us, God isn't, he doesn't want to forgive us. He's going to hold us back. And this is the reason why we're not moving forward. The tendency would be to take matters into your own hands. And if we take matters in our own hands, it's that much more of a mistake. But we've got to trust and believe that God is a merciful God. Amen. He's a righteous judge. That his intentions are a land flowing with milk and honey and not death in the wilderness. We've got to choose to put our mistakes in his hands.
Amen. It says that he's going to smite the earth. Notice he didn't say that he was going to smite the people. He said he's going to slay the wicked by the breath of his lips. And I love what Abraham Lincoln said. He said it like this. He said, "Do I not destroy my enemy when I make him my friend?" Does not God destroy the wicked with the breath of his lips when he fills us with his spirit, when he changes our heart? Isn't that what he does when he changes our heart, writes the terms of his covenant on our heart? Amen. When he renews a right spirit within us. Amen. When we set our heart from the inside to choose righteousness and holiness. Amen. His way. Amen. Isn't that what he does? I don't know about you, but I want to have God fill me with his spirit. I want the newness of life. Amen. I want to walk with him day in and day out. I want him to lead me. Verse 5. "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." That's what happens when God fills us with his spirit. That's what happens when he changes our heart. Amen. Righteousness becomes that girdle. Faithfulness becomes that girdle. Amen. When we follow God and we let God do a work in our life, and we let him do it on the inside and on the outside, it's great. Verse 6, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together." And I don't know if you've caught this, but he's got the lamb there, he's got the goat there, and he's got the cow there. And it looks like you've got the predators, you've got the wolf, you've got the leopard, and you've got the lion. And it looks like, in naturally, it would make sense that the predator is going to overcome the prey. But here, that's not what's happening. The predator is not overcoming the prey. The prey is overcoming the predator. "And a little child shall lead them," verse 7. "And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." And here, what it's saying is that it looks like, you know, we don't want our kids hanging out in the world, and I understand that. We want to do the best that we can to protect our kids. But when we come into covenant with God, God has a work that he wants to do in our kids' life. And it looks like, you know, that sometimes it looks like that the world is going to have its way and overcome our kids. But here what it's saying is that the kids, the children of the predator and the children of the prey are going to lay down together. And it says that the lion's going to eat straw like the ox. What that means is that it's not the animals with the internal marking and external marking. They're not taking on the nature of the predator. The predator is taking on the nature of the prey. And that's what happens when we let God have his way. Verse 8, "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." Verse 9, "They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord." And I don't know about you, amen, but I want all that he has for me. And in this day and age, it's not the prey for the predator, it's the predator for the prey. Amen. And God is doing a work in this day and age where he's developing people on the inside. He's developing on them on the outside. They've got the internal marking of holiness and they got the external marking of holiness. Amen. And it looks like that those people, according to what we have here in Isaiah, amen, they're not just being sent in amongst the predators. Amen. They're being sent all around the world amongst the nations, and they're having an impact. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want for my life. That's what I want for my kids. And I'm so excited that my daughter's going. This is her third, amen, Sunday in a row. And I'm looking back at this message and thank God that I chose God. Thank God that I chose to follow him when it didn't make sense. Thank God that I chose to allow him to do the work on the inside and on the outside when other people were telling me that I'm crazy. God wants to do a work in this day and age. And I wonder what would happen if Ariel would have taken his threats of the enemy and laid it out before Almighty God and said, "God, here's what the enemy says. Here's what the circumstances say. But what do you say?" Stand with me if you would. Kim, come help me. Music, if you want to come. My friend Tal is a young guy, Jewish guy. And when I first started witnessing to him in Israel, you know, I kept telling him my testimony and what God had done in my life. And he said, Matt, that's cool that God did that for you, but I don't think that he'll do that for me. And I told him, I said, Tal, I don't know what's going on in your life and what you're facing, but I'm going to pray for you. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he said, yeah, you can do it. And I said, well, let me pray right now. And he told me no. And he said, you go ahead and pray on your own. And, you know, I just don't really believe in God like that. And I told him, Tal, God wants to reveal himself to you. And I'm going to pray and ask God to reveal himself in a way that only he can. COVID came and happened, and the whole university was shut down, and there was a handful of students, and Tal ended up getting a roommate during this time when he shouldn't have got a roommate, but ended up being a Russian guy, and he's complaining. Tal's complaining to me, I got this guy in my room, and well, hopefully he's clean and all this other stuff. We go back and forth. You know how it is when you've got a roommate that's threatening to come in there and invade your space. And so, you know, a couple weeks go by, and they're having a Shabbat meal. And Shabbat meal is a time Jews celebrate Shabbat on Friday night. And they invited me over to the Shabbat meal, and I didn't go because I had some other stuff going on. And then he tells me later on that he did go to the meal, and the Russian guy had invited another Russian lady to the meal. And it was a great time. And this is when Tal began to tell me that he was actually born in Russia. And he was adopted out. His parents couldn't take care of him. He was sick. And he sent they sent him to America. And he was raised by a Jewish family. And so he always wanted to know who his parents were. And here I am. I'm like, God, you know. You know what's going on in Tal's heart. Reveal yourself to him in a way that only you can. And so he's telling me the story about this Russian guy who invites this Russian girl to this dinner. And he's telling her, I was born in Russia. Well, this lady happened to be from the same town that Tal was born. You know how big Russia is. And so she's telling him, and he tells her his story. And the story is simple, that he wants to meet his parents. And she said, well, my mom happens to know a judge in that town. And so, you know, and he's telling me that she's actually going to check and see if the mom can reach out to the judge and try to help out some way. And he's telling me the story. And I said, Tal, well, maybe it'll work. And I didn't know that you all this stuff was going on. He said, yeah, I don't really tell anybody. And I told him, I said, Tal, I'm going to pray and ask God to do that. He knows the desires of your heart. And he said, Matt, you can't do that. There's, you know, you have to pay and everything's corrupt and all this other stuff. And I said, well, let's just see what God will do. And so I prayed, and Tal calls out to me a couple of days later, and he said, Matt, she actually got in touch with her mom. Her mom got in touch with the judge. The judge agreed to help. I signed the documentation, and now I've got an appointment to meet my birth mother next week. We're going to do it on Zoom. And so I'm like, wow, Tal, that's incredible. I thank God for that. And before I know it, Tal's talking to his mom, and I'm thinking, God, you do know what's going on. You do know how to reveal yourself. And so I'm asking Tal, what do you think that was? And he had the audacity to tell me that he thought it was a coincidence. And I wanted to punch him in the face. I know you wouldn't do that, but... And I told him, I was angry, and I said, Tal, God's going to reveal himself to you. He's going to show you that he's God and God alone. And so we ended up with Guardian on the walls the last time that Hamas had struck Israel, and rockets were firing everywhere, and that's where, you know, I thought it was over, war was over, but there was missiles that came right at us. The siren was going off right outside our window, which meant it was coming right towards our building. And I heard debris hit, which meant a missile hit someplace very, very close. And I called Tal, and Tal's like, stay where you're at. And I said, okay, I'm not going anywhere, you know. I'm too busy looking out the window. And he went out there, and he did. And then the siren goes off right outside our window again. That meant missiles are coming right at us again. And he said that, you know, I heard the Iron Dome engage, and then Tal, I called him up because I'm scared for him. I said, are you okay? And he said, Matt, you're not going to believe this. And he comes inside, and then he begins to tell me the story. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, Matt, I've been in the military for years, and I just don't do this. This doesn't happen. And what had happened is that 7 missiles came at our direction. 5 of them were shot down by the Iron Dome. And then out of nowhere, the 2 that got through and were coming right at us, one made an abrupt right-hand turn and landed in an empty parking lot. The other made an abrupt left-hand turn and landed in an open field. And I said, Tal, what in the world do you think that was? He said, Matt, that was divine intervention. He said that was divine intervention, and he's shaken. You know, here he is. He's atheist, but now he's just had an experience, amen, where he knows that there's a God. And then he said this. He said, Matt, that was because of you. And I told him, I said, Tal, you're wrong. That wasn't because of me, bro. That was for you. Amen. I would never even have known, no matter how much I'm sitting here looking out the window, I would never even have known that that had taken place. But God let you see it so you would know that there's a God in Israel, that there's a God who's got our back. There's a God that you can trust. There's a God that you can believe in. And so we're sitting there, and he ends up leaving, and we're just all in awe of what God did. And even in my own way, I'm sitting there still looking out the window because war is still going on. And I couldn't help it. Why am I sitting here looking out the window? Why am I feasting on this destruction? Why am I looking at the news? Why am I got all my interest and my focus on it, and I'm paralyzed, don't want to do anything. I'm a blind man looking out the window. And the answer, I'm sitting here thinking, well, God's got it. He's parting missiles whether I know it or not. Amen. It revealed himself to Tal. I don't know why I'm sitting. If these guys want to kill each other, then let them go ahead and do it. Amen. I'm going to get my noise-canceling headphones, and I went and I laid down on my bed. Amen. I turned on my worship music, and I trusted in God. And before I knew it, the war was over. Tal had a revelation, and I had a deeper understanding of God that I didn't have before. And I learned a couple of things. Here's what we've got the victory. God's got our back. Amen. We can trust in the Lord. And I'm telling you, amen, if you've come to the house of God this morning and you don't have a relationship, we need a relationship with God. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need God to do a work in our life. That's number one. Number two, amen, you can count on him. You can trust him. You can believe in him. And I'm telling you, the enemy's really good at pointing at destruction and say, look, there's no hope, but I'm telling you, there's hope. I'm telling you, there's victory. I'm telling you, there's power. Amen. Let's let God do the work. And number three, we've got to stay focused. Amen. We've got to stay connected to our source of life. Amen. If God's filled us with the Holy Ghost, amen. I know it sounds crazy. We don't need anything else. We've got all that we need. God's got power. God's got, amen, an unlimited source, amen, of provision. God's got our back, but we've got to be willing to trust him and follow him, even when it doesn't make sense. And here's the secret. You ready? Here's the secret. The secret is simply, you got to get to a place where you say, God, here's what the circumstances say. God, here's what the enemy says, but what do you say? And let's commit to follow, because he's going to do a work on the inside. He's going to do a work on the outside. Amen. He's going to give us victory. The kingdom of God is going to be advanced. Amen. And we're on the winning team. You're going to be confronted with a choice. That's how you overcome. And I've got 3 questions. If we could just bow our heads real quick. Close our eyes just real quick. 3 questions. If you're here today and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you've never experienced that, and you want the power of God on the inside, amen, would you raise your hand so we could see you and pray with you? Yeah, we have those hands in the house of God. Thank God. Thank God. Choosing God and choosing to let God fill you with his Spirit is the best decision you'll ever make. Here's my 2nd question. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. Maybe you've come to the house of God and you don't know. Maybe you've been promised some things and just haven't come to pass yet. Amen. Maybe you've been taking every step forward. And every time you try to take a step forward, it seems like you just get knocked back down. Maybe you're fighting and you're tired of fighting. Maybe it's in your family, it's in your marriage, it's in your ministry. Amen. And you just want to let go and let God have it. It's his fight anyway. You want God to reveal himself in your life in all of those things. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Should be the entire church. I don't ever want to try to do this without him. Amen. Here's my last question. You need God to heal your body. I know I'm a blind guy, but one of these days, amen, I'm going to be in a service like this and God's going to heal me. I've seen several people get healed, blind people too. Amen. Bible says, pray for one another that you might be healed. Amen. Here's what I want to say. He's a healer today. So if you need God to touch your body, would you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but would you raise your hand? You want God to heal your body this morning? Amen. There's hands in the house of God. And thank God. Amen. I've done my part. I preached. Hopefully I didn't go over the 30 minutes. I can't see the clock. Help me. But God's still on the throne. I've done my part. Now it's time for him to do his. And here's what I'm asking you. Can we all just come down to the front? Can we all just gather down in here and lift up one another's burdens? We'll all pray together. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. Amen. We need the victory of Jesus. I'm telling you, putting our trust in him is the best thing that we could do. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's just all gather down in here as much as we can. Come on, you need the Holy Ghost. You can receive the Holy Ghost today. You need healing. You can be healed here today. Amen. You need God to fight your battle. Amen. God's ready for you to, amen, lay it down. He's willing to take that thing up and fight it for you. Come on, let's just pray one. God, we need you. God, we need your spirit, God. Come on, church. God, I want you to do a work on the inside and on the outside. God, I want the revelation of, I want you to do a work that only you can do. In the name of Jesus. Altar workers, let God use you.
Glory.
God. Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so very much. Brother Yater, you can continue to pray. I don't want to stop. But, thank you so very much for ministering to us. This has been so right in line with what God has been speaking to us about as a church. And I appreciate the sensitivity. And continue to pray for those families, Kelvin and Brooke and Carl and Cecily and their kids. God would just continue to supply. Thank you so very much, church, for stepping up and fulfilling the needs that they have. That's this. You never know. 2 weeks ago, they'd have never thought it was them. I was talking with Calvin, and he's like, you know, it's a whole lot easier to help people than people help you. And I said, well, sometimes God just puts us in those situations, and we have no idea why. But God does, and God uses it. So God bless you. Wednesday night, we're going to have a special Thanksgiving service. So I'm excited about that. We have some testimonials that we're going to be sharing. That folks are going to be sharing. So come Wednesday night, shake hands with a brother, a sister, a guest, a friend. And Spanish service will be starting here very quickly. And just so you're aware of that, their worship team will be up here within a few minutes, actually getting started. So honor that. God bless you. Thanks again to the Yaters. We'll see you back here on Wednesday.